This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials. Hour 2 of the AgriTalk College Roadshow from the University of Nebraska is ready to go. We are talking weather and markets on the Roadshow Roundtable.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Al Dutcher, Extension Ag Climatologist from the U of Nebraska. Then Dr. Brad Lubbin with Dr. Corey Walters from the Ag Economics Department. And Dr. Michael Bohm, Vice Chancellor from the Institute of Ag and Natural Resources. And, of course, right after the news, Oliver Slope checks in from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre!
Hey, Davis. Thank you so much, buddy. Really appreciate that. We are having a blast out here in Lincoln, Nebraska, getting ready to bring you the message. We're going to be talking farm markets. We're going to be talking grain markets, livestock markets, weather with Al.
Yeah.
How cool did that sound? Maybe they ought to tag that and use that someplace else. You know, weather with Al.
I'm going to make a note of that.
Have you ever heard that one before?
Weather with Al. Al, with get back Al. To you on that.
Oh, man. Do we have a deal with China or not?
I think we know about the same amount on that.
Okay.
Right now.
That's a bummer. Yeah. The bean market acted for a while today like we do have a deal with China, and that's good news. But on the other hand, this corn market, wheat market never really wanted to participate. What I want to know is what in the heck is going on with bean oil? We saw a big move to the upside today in bean oil. Meal was trading lower. Hey, it could just be spreading. We'll talk to Oliver Slope about that.
For sure.
As soon as we get done with the news, bud.
Yeah, you bet. Oh, you want to start that now?
Let's go ahead.
Export sales of wheat to the weekend of October 17 totaled just over 262,000 metric tons. That tally fell short of the low end of trade expectations, putting the market on the defensive early in the session. Winter wheat futures were torn between slightly lower corn and slightly higher soybean prices early in the day, while spring wheat futures posted modest gains on ongoing concerns over the last of the spring wheat harvest in the U.S. Northern Plains and the Canadian prairies. December hard red futures were off 3¾ cents to 419.5. December soft red futures fell 4¾ to 516. And despite early strength, December spring wheat did fall 2¼ cents to 540 by the end of the day.
Yeah, the market is having if it does see some upside momentum early in the day, the market, whether it be corn, soybeans, wheat, it's having a difficult time holding on to that strength in through the close. And when you get into this kind of a pattern, it's just tough to get the momentum going.
Corn export sales in the weekend of October 17 totaled just 491,500 metric tons. That was up from the four-week average, but was still at the low end of trade expectations. Now, after recent rains and high winds caused some harvest disruptions across the Corn Belt, generally good weather through the weekend is expected to allow growers to make significant progress on corn harvest. But, Chip, that increases hedge pressure. December corn futures were a penny lower, 386¾. March corn fell a cent and three quarters to 398. May corn closed at 404.5, down a penny and three quarters today.
You know, when everybody is complaining that export demand for corn stinks, and we continue to get numbers from USDA in the weekly export sales that confirms that, it's going to be tough to move prices up.
Yep. Well, soybean export sales in the weekend of October 17 were clearly a disappointment to the market with recent talk of Chinese bean buying. Sales of beans for delivery in the 2019-20 marketing year totaled just over 475,000 metric tons, more than a million tons below the top end of trade expectations. And equally as disappointing, Chip, no new sales to China were announced. Still, there is growing optimism over the legitimacy of Phase 1. The trade deal with Chinese officials reportedly reportedly targeting $20 billion in purchases of U.S. ag products in year one of the deal. Right. November bean futures were 0.5 cent lower, 9.33 and a quarter. Jan beans slipped 1 cent and a quarter to 9.47. March beans closed at 9.58 and a half, down a penny on the day. Lots talking about this $20 billion in purchases over year one of phase one. Does that mean we're in phase one and stuck there without a final resolution for at least a year?
No, because they are talking about phase two. I think that's very good. Now, this morning, USDA did announce a daily export sale of like 250,000 metric tons to China of soybeans for delivery in the current marketing year. That was through the daily reporting system. So that's some good news there.
All right. Well, live cattle traders are getting ready for tomorrow's monthly cattle on feed report. Traders expect feedlot inventory on October 1 to be down 1.2% from year ago. And Chip, the wild card, as always, is placements. December cattle, 52.5 lower at 110.42.5. February cattle futures dropped 37.5 cents to 120.05. Novi feeders fell 57.5 to 144.17.5. And finally, on the snout side, lean hog traders were disappointed in export sales of just 19,200 metric tons of pork in the week ended October 17. Dease hogs $1.27.5 lower, 64.55. And February lean hogs fell $1.62.5 to 73.47.5. Chip, a little birdie told me Oliver Slope is on the line.
Excellent, excellent. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures, how are you, buddy? Welcome to Lincoln, Nebraska and the University of Nebraska.
Like it feels like home from here in Chicago.
I love it. I love it. So when were you here?
I spent the first 25 years of my life there. So I spent a lot of time. I wasn't always a big Husker fan, but I got around to it eventually.
Well, you should have heard me this morning. I said Husker Nation. I said GBR. I said everything this morning on the show.
Oh, yeah, GBR. I'll say that all day. Hopefully, I'll be cheering it on this weekend when they play Indiana. Hopefully, they can get a bounce back here and a win under their belt.
Is that what you're predicting?
That's what I'm predicting. They're favored by 2.5. I think they blow them out of the water by 10.
Very good. Very good. Okay, this hog market. Choppy at the start of the week. Last couple of days has just been to the downside. Are you catching a falling knife now?
You know, it's been choppy to say the least. If you look back over the last month and a half, we've been basically in a range, 64 to 72, call it. Down here near the bottom end of the range, there might be good risk reward set up. I wouldn't jump in aggressively ahead of the weekend, because if we do break down below the low end of support, which is those October 8th lows of about 63. Remember, there's a gap from September 11th closer to 61.50, so that's something we're keeping a close eye on and a little concerned about here as the pressure's picked up over the past couple of sessions.
Okay. The corn market also has been under some pressure here of late. It's not like the market has just fallen out of bed on us here, Oliver, but it just keeps bleeding away. What's going on?
It is, it's been more or less a stick in the mud here over the past, call it this week. I'm still pretty optimistic, but if you look at the broader range of things, we're kind of right in the middle. 390, call it, is the meat of the range. You know, if we break lower to 377, 380, there's a heck of a lot of support down there. The 50-day moving average, a key retracement, the October 10th lows, which was a USDA report. And on the top side, you know, $4 to 405, obviously psychologically significant, 100, 200-day moving average, October 14th high. So we're stuck in the middle. I think you buy the low end of that range. If we work higher, you sell the top end of that range, and we continue to play that until we get a new catalyst, which, as you know, this time of year, the news kind of dies out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Give us one more. GBR, let's go.
GBR.
Hey,
go get a Runza.
Yeah, get a Runza, and maybe some chili with a cinnamon roll, eh?
Yeah. Runza, De Leon's, and Valentino's. Breakfast,
I had Valentino's for lunch. We're covered there, man.
Good guy.
All right. Thank you, Oliver. That is Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. We're talking the weather with Al Dutcher, Extension Climatologist. Thanks to DeKalb Asgro, we are in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the University of Nebraska.
We've heard a lot about how inexpensive herbicides just aren't worth the cost. In the end, you probably aren't saving what you think you are. Steve Gomm, the corn herbicide product lead with Syngenta, has another way of looking at it. He says it isn't just about what you save. It's about what you could lose. Steve, tell us what growers are at risk of losing.
First of all, by not using Acuron corn herbicide, growers may be leaving additional yield out there to the tune of 5 to 15 bushels because of tough-to-control weeds. And Chip, Acuron controls these tough weeds that other products are missing, so your corn crop isn't fighting for the nutrients, water, and sunlight, and it's able to develop to its full potential.
Yeah, you know, 5 to 15 bushels, that's a big difference. It has an impact on the grower's bottom line. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot more within our trials to understand further what it means to have consistent, effective weed control, especially those tougher to control weeds. And so when you have the opportunity to gain an additional 5 to 15 bushels and you look at a corn price, let's say, of roughly $3.70 a bushel, mm-hmm. that's an additional $18 to $56 per acre. You spread that kind of return over multiple acres, it can really make a difference. So if you aren't using Acuron today, I really encourage you to talk to your local farm retailer to see what you might be leaving out there.
Yeah, and when you spread that out over what the average grower out there is somewhere around 300, 500 acres of corn, it really adds up in a hurry, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, it's been a tough market the last few years, and we really need to ensure that everybody's maximizing those yields and those returns.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It isn't about what you save. It is about what you could lose. Thank you. That was Steve Gomm from Syngenta talking to us about how Acuron gives growers 5 to 15 bushels more per acre. And after doing the math, it sure adds up.
Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We are live on the campus of the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, the 2019 AgriTalk College Roadshow from the University of Nebraska Lincoln. Is brought to you by the champions of yield, DeKalb and Asgrow. Talk to your dealer to score the next W for your operation. Now, if there was ever a year to go ahead and say, we're going to write a book about 1 year's worth of weather in one state, we might go straight to Nebraska in 2019 and talk about it. We're talking now with Al Dutcher. He is the Extension Agricultural Climatologist here at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. It's good to talk with you, Al. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Glad that you could be here and made time to come over here. Boy, it's just been it's a year that's kind of hard to describe. It's one for the record books in Nebraska.
It certainly is, and it's been very painful for many of our Nebraska residents here. We went through a lot of struggles. We're a very strong state. People tend to help and lead. It's typical of most Midwestern states. That helping hand is out there in the time of need. And we've done a lot to recuperate from this. We've got a long way to go. I suspect it will be years before we fully recover from this from an infrastructure standpoint. You know, I think our biggest concerns on the agricultural end is what did the impacts of this system have on some of these long-term genetics of our cattle herds, and some of these folks really took a hard time on it. The amount
people don't think of that. Thank you for bringing that up. But there was genetic improvement that was lost out there.
You're correct, and we've had several folks that were wiped out pretty hard on this, and it's a very devastating when you take your entire life and Mother Nature takes it away from you in a blink of an eye. We think of tornadoes and the destruction that a tornado occurs, and it's over a very limited area. But this covers such a wide expanse of the state. And, you know, we were fortunate from a standpoint, at least in the southern part of the state, that prior to the onset of the big flood, we had a couple days of warming that eliminated much of our snowpack in the southern part of the state, or we would have probably seen a much more significant problem in the major metropolitan areas of the state, which would have really ramped up the total destruction of what we've seen this year.
Right. As a climatologist, you follow the stream levels, the river levels, and everything else out there. Have you ever seen the Platte River look the way that it did this year?
Not really.
Yeah.
You know, 92 and 93 were bad years on the Platte, especially 93. But the amount of surge that we've seen on a statewide basis was what was unusual. It's not uncommon for us to see one of our major tributaries within the state be in flood stage, and it can be in flood stage for several days based on the precipitation output over a specific region. But this covered two-thirds of Nebraska, and everything drained toward the Missouri, so every stream backed
up. Every stream. That was the amazing thing to me, and it took out roads.
Yes,
it took out infrastructure. You already said it, Al. It's going to take time to recover for the whole state.
You know, and I think this really goes to the point when we talk about the power of water.
Yeah,
and you know, we talk about don't drive into areas that you don't know what's going on, and we're talking only in a lot of these cases just 3 or 4 inches of water that is spread out that can pull you away. And we think about some of these streams where we had the water running at such a rate that cars would just be blown away downstream, not just floated away, blown away downstream. This
tumbling.
Was incredible. And the scouring of our fields, that is going to take a long time to recover, you know.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And of course, then we're dealing with some of the economic issues, too, on top of it. So, you know, the stress issues are a concern to us across the state. I'm hoping that we can get a semblance of some decent weather going forward, although things don't look exactly perfect right now, but I'm hoping we don't go through a repeat, because we are set up for a much more worse situation across the northern plains this year than compared to last year.
Right. How much more moisture can the soil take out here?
Really, our major area, we're really at that field capacity level or above, basically the northern half of the state, east of the panhandle. And what's different this year than last year is that a lot of the heavy precipitation during most of the winter last year fell across the southern plains, and the I-80 corridor was really a northern extent of a lot of our snowfall. We didn't have a snowpack on the ground as we entered into the month of February, but then Mother Nature turned the trigger, and those areas that had missed out on those big snows got two consecutive major snowstorms.
Yep.
And very brutal temperatures. And I can recall to the day that I was giving talks, and we were talking about the winter and how unusually warm it had been, and that we were still way above normal in snowfall. And I made the comment, it's going to take an incredibly cold February for us to even break below normal for this winter. I said it's highly unlikely that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So here's a lesson to anybody making a forecast. When you make something like that out, it usually comes back to haunt you. And sure enough, we were a top 10 coldest February across a broad area of the northern plains, and we ended up below normal. So we drove a frost depth into the ground 2 to 3 feet in a matter of 30 days. And that's what set us up for the situation, because when we had this melting, we basically had concrete. We had snow on top of concrete, and there was no way for it to infiltrate, and since it all had to go down the Gulf of Mexico.
You know, that is the best explanation I've heard of what happened with the floods in Nebraska. That's the best I've ever heard. I think people just kind of assumed that, well, you know, it's because of drainage, or it's because of this, or it's because of urban sprawl, and we're putting up too many real parking lots instead of having a naturally made parking lot that covered millions of acres.
That's correct. And we've seen flooding in areas that we aren't really accustomed to seeing a lot of flooding, particularly in the what we call the Loop River Basin, up through the Sandhills. And generally, that's a pretty stable stream. The flows don't vary a lot. It's during these spring melts when we have our major problems. And it's been quite a few years. I think we have to go back to the mid-60s to see this kind of destruction across the Loop River Basin. I believe it was 65, 66 when we had the major flooding. And so it's been a long time, and we kind of lose sight of that, you know, as bad as this is, these are a normal part of our climate. Yes, it may have been energized a little bit more by warmer air and more moisture in the atmosphere, but these big systems do come around. We do get events like this. And so hopefully we can learn some lessons from this and be a little bit more proactive in terms of figuring out where Mother Nature shows us where our vulnerabilities are.
Yep.
She showed us every place where we have a problem with this flood event, and hopefully we'll be able to fix those areas, but not return to a policy that makes them vulnerable in the future.
Yeah. Back in the mid-80s, Elwin Taylor at Iowa State University told me that when we got into the late teens and early 2020s, we'd be looking at a period of instability, just general instability in the weather, which brings me to the weather cycles.
Sure.
You know, it feels like we are entering that period of extremes when it comes to weather.
Well, you know, we spent the last couple years doing pretty much a short-term and long-term analysis. And one of the things that we've seen has been a propensity for us to start to see in the short term a much colder February period. Mm-hmm. And we've heard some research that is basically described as, in terms of climate change, that potentially this would mean much colder late winter temperatures as we bottle that air up into Canada.
Right.
I'm not going to go into the arguments of that standpoint, but we have seen that trend, and it does show in our statistics, and it's a very strong trend. We haven't seen that bleed into the other months. So, you know, that in itself is problematic, because if you think about this logic, we're getting out of the winter and we're going into the spring, and if we're dealing with cold soils that are frozen deep, it's going to slow down the ability for us to get out there and get into our normal spring pattern. And then we've shown it this year. So as we go forward for this next year, that's one of the major things that we're looking at. How much soil moisture do we have across the upper Midwest? We're in much worse shape this winter than we are going into this winter than we were last year. Does that mean it's going to be a massive flood again? Absolutely not. It really boils down to what the overall jet stream pattern is. Right now, it's a pretty scary proposition, because we've seen some rather extensive storm systems in the northern United States, and if that bears out for the remainder of the winter, yes, it will be. But again, our statistics have shown that you cannot use a fall period as a precursor to the winter period.
Right.
There's very little correlation, just basic, a little bit over a flip of a coin.
What's driving the jet stream then?
Well, really what we're looking at least from a standpoint of how I forecast, I'm looking at the equatorial Pacific, and I'm also looking at the Gulf of Alaska. And if you remember last year, the low pressure
jet stream started blowing right through the middle
Yeah, what are you, on a hilltop over there? Can you make your way down into the valley?
Welcome to Nebraska.
That's right. So what is driving it?
Well, last year we had the low-pressure system formed in the western portion of the Gulf of Alaska, and that forced a downstream ridge over Canada. And that basically allowed systems to come underneath of that and into the western United States, and then, of course, we had that waning El Nino.
Right.
Those combinations with that moisture feed led to very high precipitation values across the southern Rockies. This year, what we're seeing is that low pressure system has moved further eastward in the Gulf of Alaska. Therefore, the downstream ridge is pushing the Arctic air into the northern plains and into the eastern United States. And we haven't yet seen the signs of systems undercutting that ridge and coming into the western United States. So as long as that pattern continues, the mass majority of the active weather going forward will likely be across the northern half of the United States.
Okay.
But if that southern jet starts to kick in, then we start to repeat the same process of last winter.
Al, this was fun. I mean, we talked about a really tough, trying, and emotional year in Nebraska weather, but I haven't had anybody explain it quite like you did. I sure appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
That is Al Dutcher. Wow, great conversation. He is the Extension Agricultural Climatologist here at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. When we come back, we're going to have the Roadshow Roundtable going in just a minute here on AgriTalk.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at December heating oil / diesel fuel futures today. December distillate prices traded between $1.68 per gallon and $2.17 early this year. The market spiked upward and seemed set to soar after last month's attack upon Saudi refining facilities, but the diesel contract topped at $208.60, then reversed. The late September drop carried it below its 40-day moving average, but bears were also frustrated when prices rebounded. Moreover, they've had little luck in forcing it below the 40-day EMA this month, with that level seemingly acting as a springboard to this week's surge to $1.98. The $2 level likely represents tough resistance, but a sustained push above it could open the door to larger gains.
All right, Dan, thanks so much. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Bust it.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
And welcome back to Lincoln, Nebraska, the University of Nebraska. We're on the campus, the 2019 AgriTalk College Roadshow from the University of Nebraska. Lincoln is brought to you by the Champions of Yield, DeKalb and Asgrove. Talk to your dealer to score the next W for your operation. And with that, let's go ahead and roll this industry spotlight. Talking now with Randy Lloyd. Randy, how are you doing? You're with DeKalb Asgrove. Thanks for joining us today, buddy.
You bet. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Okay, here we are. We're in, it's the end of October. We should be a lot further along on the harvest than what we are, shouldn't we?
We should be. Of course, we kind of got a late start in a lot of places.
Yep.
I am actually out here in North Platte, Nebraska, so I'm a little bit west of you today.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some cases, we unfortunately didn't get into these fields until mid-May to early June.
Right. Right, yeah. So it's been one of those slow-developing seasons all year long. And we were just talking to Al, and we didn't even talk about the latest weather event that I think is really a concern. And that's that windstorm that we just had, Randy. Good grief. That laid a lot of ears on the ground, didn't it?
Yes, sir. Really, out here in the western part of the state, we had winds anywhere from 60 to 70-plus miles an hour. And, of course, with the summer that we've had, you know, we had a lot of issues that sort of compromised some of our stalks in these corn crops. And you get those two things in combination, you're probably going to end up with a lot of corn on the ground.
Right. Right. Now, but before that happened, how much harvest progress had you made?
So out here, we were, again, pretty limited. We were kind of waiting for the crop to just dry down a little bit more. You know, we've got areas that are probably 20 to 30% done and areas that are, you know, 70 to 80% done. So it's a little bit across the board. Guys are obviously going at it as quickly as they can. Of course, down corn tends to slow that down quite a bit.
Yeah,
we were very excited about our new products and the yields we were seeing, even with the challenging year. So that was sort of the positive piece of it.
Good.
And, you know, farming, unfortunately, with this wind came in, it's just going to throw one more challenge onto the pile.
That's exactly right. Good way to put it, Randy. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time today. That is Randy Lloyd with DeKalb Asgrove. As I mentioned, we are here at University of Nebraska in Lincoln, and we're talking now with Dr. Brad Lubin. Lubin.
Mm-hmm.
See, I grew up around some Lubins. They pronounce it the same way, Brad.
We're probably all related. It's just not how we pronounce it.
Yeah. Somehow, some way. Yeah. That's right. And Corey Walters, that one's pretty easy.
That one's pretty easy.
That's right. Thank you guys for making time coming over here today.
You bet.
Let's talk policy first, Brad. Have you ever seen a time period where there was this much uncertainty?
No. I think we typically look at farm policy and farm programs and think those are tools to help producers manage risk. Policy itself has been a risk here recently.
Yeah.
And so it's been really difficult to figure out which tools can help producers, but how do you prepare for the uncertainties
for 18 months of a trade war with China?
What happens with trade? What happens with bioenergy? What happens with continued economic developments? It's all a challenge.
Yeah, and we continue to point at trade as the number one policy uncertainty, but boy, when we continue to get one message from the White House, another message from EPA, we've got lawmakers like Ernst and Grassley mm-hmm. out of Iowa and others, and others. Those are, I'm from Iowa, I'm going to mention those two. They keep fighting the fight on against EPA, and I don't know which way this is going to go, Brad.
I think we're still all watching and trying to figure it out. It really is a small line in between if you're trying to thread something that is satisfactory to both the agricultural sector on biofuels and also the petroleum sector and the refineries.
Yeah.
I don't know how you find a compromise. So somebody's going to be mad, or both of them are going to be mad, and that's kind of the line we're walking right now.
You know, when they kept talking about looking for that win-win scenario coming out of the RFS, it's not possible, is it?
It's difficult to imagine a middle ground that both are happy with, that both sides are happy with.
Right.
So ultimately, it's a test of, you know, economics and viability versus legislation. The legislation says we shall grow the renewable fuels production and consumption levels.
Right.
At what point is that economically painful or sort of physically infeasible? And that's when you talk about waivers.
Yeah.
And but we're using waivers, and so we're debating, well, we need waivers because we can't get there. Well, the policy says we're supposed to get there.
Right. Yeah.
Those are incompatible choices eventually.
Yep. Yeah. And Brad, Corey, Brad made a good point. It's hard to figure out how to manage all the risk when you're looking at that much uncertainty, isn't there?
Absolutely. But there's one thing you got to come right back down to is you have to survive. If you're gonna have some to play this game again. And so for the folks that we just heard from out in western Nebraska with corn on the ground, I don't think ag policy is, or RFS is on their frontal lobes right now. They don't even have a yield.
Yeah.
So it comes down to, look, you got to figure out how you're going to set your farm up to where you can survive through this, all of this sort of stuff, right down from production up to all those factors that impacting prices.
Right, right. You know, but when we talk about the impact on price, and I want to talk corn for just a minute.
Okay.
Because when you look at the price of corn, cash corn,
okay,
in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, right,
okay,
now, we're 40, 50 cents above where we were a year ago,
yeah,
Corey.
Better, yeah.
This is is it an opportunity that more guys ought to be latching on to?
I have no idea. I don't know their cost structure.
Yeah, well, good point. Good point.
For everyone, it's going to be a little bit different. That price right now is just reflective of the current people who want to trade corn, price corn, the buyers and sellers. So we're looking at, you know, harvest pressures right now. There's a little carry in the market. You know, manage what you can going forward. But that's for someone it might be good, and someone else it might not be as good, and that can stress that farm survival. If these prices, like you said, are 50 cents better, like,
yeah,
they are, is that better be helping you out? But if you're still under after that, you gotta set something else up on your farm,
because
it's it's up to you, and everyone is different. Every farm is different. You have to stress yourself, whether that's going through floods and droughts and rains, winds, whatever that is. Hypothetically is the best place to do it. You don't want to experience it. But you have to put your farm through that and see, can you make this?
Right.
Can you make this work?
Right. So, Brad, how do we get this? You know, I made a comment to a group yesterday that when you look at farm income, the MFP payments have obviously helped.
Absolutely.
They've saved some butts in a lot of cases. But until we see that farm income turn around and it is market driven, it's going to be hard to get optimism and investment,
right,
coming back in.
Right. You know, we've been living with at least a market downturn for going on 6 years now.
Yeah.
From the 12 and 13 highs and been downtrending ever since. Maybe we're bottoming out or leveling off here, but it's leveling off at a pretty low level,
right,
at least compared to where we've been. So it's been difficult to manage year over year over year continual losses or accumulating losses. The emergency assistance payments do help.
Yeah.
But as you've, I think, heard every farmer probably that you have ever talked to said, we'd prefer trade to aid.
Yeah.
You know, the emergency assistance payments will actually help prop up farm income. And at least as estimated, we'll see an increase from 19 over 18, but only because of emergency payments.
Yep.
If it weren't for payments, we'd see a continual decrease, as we've seen continuing losses in the market. So it's a short-term assistance package that helps. But there's got to be a long term eventually when we can manage for the market.
Corey, it is the market.
It is. That's it. We're moving horizontally, and now we have some great production risk being thrown into this thing through different sources. Hey, this is what you got.
Yeah,
you got to find a way to survive, and that's the end of the day of it. You have to find that combination.
Yep,
and it's different for everyone.
Yeah, the market that we're dealing with right now, corn in particular, again,
okay,
is it a demand driven market or is it a supply driven market? Flip a coin on this one.
Yeah, flip a coin. I look at it from my point of view of coming from on the farm side is, you're faced with this price. Is that what you're liking? I'm not going to hypothesize about where it's going to go. You have what you have today. Because those forecasts, well, they're nice. They may be right or wrong, but that doesn't. I can't tell the banker that.
Yeah.
So you're facing this now. You what came up though? Let's go back a year ago right now, you got to be ready for very quick price movements and take advantage of those, because they're showing us going forward. Let's just say going forward, you got to look for those things quickly. And they move fast. That summer rally was fast. Don't expect it, but be ready.
Sounds to me like you're a big proponent of the ROI. As soon as you get that positive ROI and you hit your targets.
As long as you can produce something.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, because that's survival. Nothing else matters. That's survival. You can't worry about science until you survive.
Right.
You got to make money. To make money, you better survive.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we make it too complicated sometimes. We need to go right back down to the farm and think about what are they facing with that, and how can we think about surviving? You take the smallest risks, see if your farm could go through it.
Yeah.
Too many times people say, "Oh, that will never happen to me again," or "That happened to the guy next door. It won't happen to me." Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Then it did.
Yeah. Yeah. You hypothesize on it for a while, but you hope that it doesn't happen to you. But you better have a plan.
Be immune to it. Yeah. Just set yourself up to be immune to it.
I like that. And I like that a lot. Hey, Brad, can you stick around for the next segment with us?
Yep.
Corey, it was good to meet you, man. Thank you so much.
You bet, sir.
I really appreciate it. That is Corey Walters. Both these guys are out of the Ag Economics Department here at the University of Nebraska, and that's where we're at. We're right on the campus, as you can tell. Every now and then, it's like, the winds kick up a little bit. It's Nebraska. It happens. It's a beautiful day out here, no doubt about it. Okay, when we come back, we've got Dr. Michael Bohm. He is the Vice Chancellor of the Institute of Ag and Natural Resources here at the University of Nebraska.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right. Annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. And that, I think, was Davis Michelson.
What? Huh?
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Let me check. Yes, I have it here in my notes.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's continue our coverage here. From the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, thank you so much to DeKalb Asgrow. We are into our final segment, Davis, on the College Roadshow. Can you believe it?
No, I cannot.
Now is the time. This is like the final exam.
Don't say that. I'm feeling sick. I'm losing my voice.
Right. We've still got Brad Lubin with us. And joining us now is Dr. Michael Boehm. He is the Vice Chancellor at the Institute of Ag and Natural Resources. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, Chip, thanks. Thanks for being in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for this weather. Every now and then the wind blows, but it's gorgeous.
It's always like this in Nebraska.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Especially right here, you know, in the College of Ag, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Tell us about it. What's exciting?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of excitement here. So we, this year, celebrated our 150th birthday here at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and at the Institute of Ag Natural Resources. Really, we're all about the food, fuel, feed, and fiber that is needed to supply a growing world population that's going from 7.5 billion to 10 billion people here over the next 30 years. We're about doing that, being mindful of the resilience of our water and our soils and our air for the next six generations of Nebraska producers, being mindful about those the people who produce that food, fuel, feed, and fiber.
Yeah, very so, cool.
Couple other things I'll throw in there.
We've
had 15 years of nonstop growth in our student population.
Good.
We have, you met some of our students. They're just outstanding.
Right.
We have a nice cross-section from those working on climate-adaptable crops and thinking about, of course, we're the beef state, how to produce beef in a sustainable manner. We have amazing food science production program here. So just a couple highlights.
Yeah, Brad, the reason that I wanted you to stick around for this segment is talk about the student involvement and what a student might expect when they come here to the University of Nebraska.
Well, you know, you're coming to a university that has 25,000 plus students in it.
Yeah.
But yet you also come to an ag campus here that really is its own farm in the middle of town. That's cool. About 3,000 students here on the Ag campus, if I remember the numbers right. But it really does feel like a nice, small, rural community and very close-knit community. So you see students together in the classroom, but you also see them in different organizations. I was an alum here myself back in the 80s and early 90s, and it still has that same sort of small-town kind of very, very community-minded feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is outstanding. And that the student involvement in the different groups, the interaction with each other, those relationships are stuff that, I mean, if you make them strong here at the University of Nebraska, they're going to continue for the rest of your life.
Well, it's something we recommend, you know, to students in general, too. If all you do is the classroom stuff, you've missed out on such a great opportunity.
Yes.
You really do want to get involved in extracurricular activities, at least the good kind.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, but clubs, trips, maybe internship opportunities or other experiences that really help set you up for life. So so all those are available here, and I think really good, really well utilized by our students.
Yeah,
yeah. I'd jump in there and say our faculty are really student centric, and so you'll talk to the students here, and they'll say it's definitely a family atmosphere. But you can ask a student from Rwanda or from Tanzania or from Brazil, and they'll tell you the same thing. So I think that Nebraska hospitality and the way that the faculty really try to move that theory that they learn in the classroom into practice, whether it's the field, the lab, the studio, you name it, the trading floor, really putting a premium on experiential learning.
Well,
Pretty amazing.
And it's about getting the young people ready to go out into the world and make a difference, right? I've talked about that at every stop. If a student comes to a University of Nebraska and is involved in agriculture studies, it's because they want to make a difference. Yes, they want to go home and they may want to farm, but that is making a difference to the world. It's important.
Yeah, you know, and the definition of agriculture from when we were in school is, we still do production agriculture. No question, that's one bookend. But on the other side, it's all the way to consumer preference.
Yep.
You can study here metabolomics, looking at the gut microbiome of humans. And
we talked about that this morning.
Pretty powerful.
Yeah.
You can think about digital agriculture. And, you know, how you get that broadband signal to and from the equipment. We talk a lot about rural community prosperity, whether that's economic vitality or we think about, how important it is for being kindergarten ready and being able to read by third grade. I mean, we talk about all those things.
Yeah. So. Yeah, oh, it's very cool. You're excited about University of Nebraska.
Hey, the University of Nebraska is the place to be, so any future students out there or those of you who are thinking about grad school, definitely check us out.
Give it a look, huh?
Give it a look.
Give it a look. Oh, I tell you what, Chancellor Babe, thank you so much.
Absolutely, Chip.
For joining us today. We really appreciate
it. And I'll give a go Big Red out there.
We just had one of your fine alum, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures, was on at the start of the show giving us a little perspective. He threw a couple of GBRs out there
good,
as well.
Good.
You got any predictions for the game on? It is Indiana. Come on.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We're a Big Ten school, and we're going to get our fifth win here.
Nice.
On our way to a bowl game. Let's go.
All right. Love it. Love it. Brad, thank you so much for joining us
today,
Chip.
Too.
All right. Hey, we're wrapping it up. Let's get to it. We got the tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Halloween Costumes. In case you can't come up with an excuse to skip that Halloween party, here's some ideas straight from Twitter. Now today's tweets at J.S. Reinecker. There's a little dude with a bad haircut and glasses in this convenience store who is harassing the cashier about why the hot cocoa tastes different from last time, and I'm hoping it's a dude getting an early start on a George Costanza Halloween costume. At Annie, 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 my Dwight Schrute costume is coming together, just waiting on my wig and glasses and calculator watch and shirt and tie. I don't think she's got a costume. And at Bush Beer, last minute Halloween costume idea. Drink a Bush Light, boom! Sexy Bush Light drinker. I like that one.
I like that one too. All right, thank you for joining us today. The crowd is gathering. We're getting ready to film this week's episode of U.S. Farm Report. Y'all have a great weekend. We got the free-for-all tomorrow morning on AgriTalk.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.